Welcome to My Turn Podcast, a gaming podcast hosted by extra competitive siblings. My name's Jem and I'm joined today by middle sibling
Billan, and I'm joined by younger sibling
Erim. Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining us for this latest edition of My Turn Podcast. As I said, this is a gaming podcast because we are what?
Competitive gaming siblings.
Yeah, we play lots of games.
So. We are games obsessed, I would say. We absolutely love games of all types, formats, on all platforms. And we love to talk about those games with you. And so what we do is we have a chat about the games we've been playing, give them a little review. And I think we've got a mix of types of games today.
Yeah, we do.
Two video games and a board
game. Yeah.
Mixing it up today. So we're just going to kick things off with, let's see who's going to go first. Which brother smells less? Let me just sniff the air. Hang on.
I smell Billen. Less.
Yeah, Billen smells less. Yeah, I think we'll agree.
Are we going smelliest first or smelliest last?
No, smelliest last.
Smelly.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm the least smelly.
Well, you smell the most, as in you smell things more than either of us smells things.
Oh, that's
so I think
true.
That means you smell which, the most.
Yeah, no, hang on. I've got smell-o-vision, not you.
Yeah, no, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh. He's talking about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got like a really, like my nose can pick out like
that's
any
what I'm saying.
Spice.
So you technically smell the most.
Oh.
Can you smell crime?
No, I smell the most effectively.
Okay, yeah, sure. If you want to phrase it like that, it still makes it sound like you're a smelly person.
I'm a smelling person. Okay, all right, smelling we're being person. Competitive over who can smell the best now. This is ridiculous. All right, shall I go first then? I never go first.
Yeah,
you should go first.
All right then. Great. So we should say at the top here that we aren't games journalists, so this might not be slick, but it'll be fun.
We'll see it for us. I don't know about the listeners.
And we do this because we just love games. And so, yeah, like, don't at us if we get anything wrong. We try our best. We just want to share the love with you.
Okay, well, what game are you going to be talking about today then, Jen?
I'm going to be talking about Oxenfree 2, which, thank you, Erin, was a birthday present from you.
You're so welcome. I mean, the first game was incredible, so very excited to see how this one is. Describe Oxenfree 2 in a nutshell.
Okay, in a nutshell, let's keep it brief. I'm going to choose a coconut for my nutshell because you can make musical instruments out of coconuts. And this game is all about sound and frequencies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So in a nutshell, Oxenfree is a narrative adventure, kind of in the sort of mystery supernatural, leaning slightly into horror graphic adventure game. It's developed by Night School Studios, published by Netflix now. So Netflix have taken on Night School.
Oh, cool.
Yep. So it'll be available through the Netflix games now. And it's on all the things, I believe. So Steam. Yeah, I played it on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It's on PlayStation, Xbox. And I think it's even available on mobile, I think through Netflix. But I played it on Nintendo Switch and it came out in 2023. So it's quite a current game, July 2023, I believe. As I said, a narrative adventure where you get to use sound waves in a really interesting way, much like the first game.
Is it the same setting as well? Is it you're revisiting the island from the original game?
Yeah, so the setting's similar.
Yeah.
You do revisit Edward's Island, which is the setting for the first game, and you're in, I think it's Camina Island. And they're like next to each other in the same little, what do you call it when there's lots of outcrop of islands?
That an archipelago?
Archipelago.
That. I think it's one of those. And yeah, you are playing the character of Riley, who goes back to Camina to investigate mysterious radio signals. Well, actually, she's there as an environmental researcher. That's what you go in as. But very quickly, her job becomes about investigating these weird radio signals. And because of the events of the first game, the island does have a kind of known issue with some weird things that happened and some people that went missing. But the characters that you are introduced to at the beginning, so Riley and then Jacob, who's her colleague, they don't know exactly what happened in the first game, but so, they know of the history of the previous events, which was 2016's game, and it kind of feels like a similar timeline.
Mm-hmm. And so you've mentioned the first game a few times. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it would benefit someone playing Oxenfree 2 to be able to have played the first game?
I think, yeah. I don't think you have to, because they do a good enough job of explaining what's happened to the characters from the first Oxenfree. And the setting is the same in parts, not the whole thing. And the sequel is definitely an expansion on that. And I'll go into why I think it's also an improvement.
Yeah.
I don't think it's essential, but the games are so short, you might as well if you're interested in it. But as I mean,
it's an incredible game. It's definitely worth playing. Like,
I've
done it multiple times now.
Yeah, and I reviewed Oxenfree 1 like a couple of years ago on this podcast. If you scroll back through our back catalogue, you'll hear what I had to say on that. But yeah, very good game. Hence, I wanted to play the second. So yeah.
Fantastic. So yeah, tell us what it does well then. Like, what are the highlights of the game so far?
So being a... Well, I've completed it.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, wow. I mean, it's a very short game, so probably time to beat around 4 hours.
Really?
I think I took 4, maybe 5, because I had to pause it a lot because human Tamagotchi needed my... my child needed my attention sometimes. But yeah, as a narrative adventure, I think what it does really well is the script is damn good, everyone. Mm-hmm. The dialogue is so engaging from the offset. It's really, really wordy, but they're just talking all the time. And the voice acting of the actress who plays Riley and then the actress who plays Jacob is phenomenal. They're both so likable. Their voices have so much texture and personality. Yeah. Like, really, like, as someone who does a lot of voice work myself, like, it's just lovely to hear someone really nailing it, and you really appreciate that craft because you know how hard it is, especially for a video game.
I think they really got that in the first one as well. I quite like, well, liked slash hated some of the characters, but in the way that it's intended.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
you weren't just like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, and what I really liked about this game is in the first game, they were it was your characters were teenagers.
Yeah.
In this game, these are older people. You get the feeling they're in their mid to late 30s just from discussion. It's never explicit. But it sounds like they've lived a life and they're at that point in their life where they're discussing, and this is no spoilers or anything, but they're discussing this idea around what is the value of your life? Have you achieved the things that you wanted to achieve? And they're both talking about their lives as if they've gone past the midpoint, like they've gone past the point where you could still be an astronaut.
As
an example, because when you're younger, it's like, you could do anything. You could do anything. And these characters are both a little bit cynical, but in a really natural way, where they're both kind of like, it's as if their dreams have passed them by. And I think the game does a really a good job of weaving that into then this bigger story of this supernatural mystery. Mm-hmm. So very quickly, the narrative takes that dark turn where things start going wrong. And basically these blips in the cosmos or in the energy of the location appear in these kind of like tears in time almost.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is like literally a tear and you can use a radio to sort of expand that tear and walk into it and interact with it. Sometimes the whole of the scene that you can see just flips and you're suddenly somewhere at another time, but in that location.
That's cool.
Yeah, other characters appear. There's almost like you never quite know, are they aliens? Are they ghosts? Like it sort of treads that line throughout most of the narrative.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like come down on where it ends.
Does it actually give you a bit more? Because the last one was quite ambiguous, wasn't it? It didn't really explain what these kind of encounters were. Does it give you a bit more?
It does, yeah. I think it fills the story out a little bit more. I don't know that the ending was like wholly satisfying on that, in terms of like really earning the ending, in terms of, was the payoff like as good as it could have been? Maybe not, but it is a satisfying narrative, and I think that's important because it's a narrative driven game. I should also say the art style is really beautiful. It's quite a zoomed out game, so it's one of those games that your character's tiny and sort of far away from you. But what I like about that is it's about that setting.
Yeah.
So when you're walking up a mountain trail and that suddenly turns into something like another time in that same mountain trail, like you can see everything. So you can see old buildings or an old structure or a mine or a church or things like that, that were there before. And it's about that setting and the kind of special, I guess, geographical or historical significance of that place.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really good reason to have it so focused on location. I can see how that would annoy people. Like initially, I was trying to lean really close to the TV.
Really?
And when I was playing it on handheld, I found on the Switch, I found them so small.
Yeah.
They were tiny and it was annoying me, but I've just come out of playing a third person action game. So I think like I quickly adjusted and it's beautiful. Oh, like it earns that style really well, actually.
Okay, cool. Anything else you want to mention?
I have to say that the mechanics are amazing. So you're using a radio. So you've got a walkie-talkie at times. You can tune in to different people on the island. There's a lot of work that's gone into just random like radio waves that you can pick up or random conversations you can have. Some of them feed into the story. Like you can talk to an old sailor who's just kind of, again, just desperate to relive his youth. And there's this sense of looking back on things, I think, in this game, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And also the radio that goes along with the walkie-talkie, that mechanic is building on from the first game. You're tuning into a frequency to then affect these tears in time or these energy points, whatever it is that you're interacting with. And it's about like finding that frequency through a vibration or a noise.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of hold it. It's not hard. But what I think they really did in this game very well is they added a bit more light puzzling.
Okay.
Because before you're just walking around.
Yeah. It was just very story driven and whatever you did. Like, I mean, it did affect the story a bit, but not overly. Really,
yeah. You didn't
it?
Feel like your choices made much of an impact on where things were going. In this game, I think your choices do make more of an impact, but also there's a bit more puzzling involved. It's light puzzling. It's nothing that's going to boil your brains. But it was a nice and welcome addition. And I think that they just did more with this mechanic. It wasn't just tune in to something and something gets revealed. There was a bit of like, okay, I've got to figure out a path through the mountains. You know, I need to backtrack here, use the thing there, da, 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 da. So there was, yeah, as I say, a more satisfying level of light puzzling.
Oh, fantastic. So it sounds like it really has evolved like from the original game. I mean, is there anything that it doesn't do too well then?
I touched on it a bit. I think it's a really lovely game and it does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
The ending for me, it demands a certain level of emotional kind of engagement from you that I'm not sure it wholly earns by the end.
Okay.
Your interaction with some of the characters you meet.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a sort of forced emotion put on you by the writing of the game that you were meant to really care about this or these other characters, depending on your choices. And I kind of didn't because it all happened a bit too quickly, but I really, really cared about Jacob, who's your sort of partner through everything.
Yeah.
Your colleague. I thought that relationship worked really well. So I found the relationship with the other characters, which really lead you into the end.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel as earned.
Oh.
That could be because of some of the choices I made.
Oh, okay.
It could be because I had big gaps in my plays.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, just putting that out there. That could be a reason. But yeah, so that would be my only niggle.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Okay. So is there anything in particular that this game does that I guess is maybe a bit different? I mean, obviously you touched on the mechanic, but the radio, which is a fantastic mechanic from the original one. But is there anything else that you want to highlight in particular?
I really want to highlight the sound mix and the score, because obviously on a game that's based in sound as one of its mechanics, it has to sound good, right?
Yeah,
otherwise it all falls down. I think
Sound is so, so important.
Yeah, the
in a
mix
lot of
is
games.
So good. Playing this with headphones.
Yeah.
Again, I recommend playing a lot of games with headphones. But playing this with headphones is really special. The kind of the actual score that underpins some of it is really like evocative of this sort of mysterious mood. And it sort of sticks in your head in a way that's effortless, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's not trying too hard, but it definitely does something as you play. So yeah, I definitely highlight the sound design on this game. But also just, again, how slick this dialogue is. It feels so natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely, lovely stuff. So cool. I guess, who would you recommend this to then?
I'd definitely recommend this to anyone who loves a short narrative-driven game. Mm. This ticks all the boxes. It's a great story. Don't be put off about what I said about the end. That is a minor niggle. Mm-hmm. But it's a great story. It's quite satisfying. And yeah, the performances, the writing, all just fantastic. So, like, hats off to the team. So yeah, anyone who likes a short game, a narrative-driven game, bit
anyone
of a mystery.
Anyone who likes the original as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you enjoyed the original, definitely. Yeah. But as I said at the beginning, I'd also recommend, if you've got time, the original probably took 3 hours to beat, something like that. It's pretty short. You can do it in a sitting. Mm-hmm. I'd recommend playing the original and then going straight into this, but you don't have to. This is definitely a slicker iteration of the Oxenfree series. Fantastic.
Brilliant. Okay, well, that brings us up to our rating. What are we going to give it then, Jem?
Oh, I'm going to give it a lovely, lovely 8 out of 10 because I really liked it. Yeah, I think I gave the first game 8 out of 10.
Did you?
Well.
Yeah,
I'm
think so.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, it's well rated and well regarded. So yeah, well
slightly
done.
Slicker 8 though.
Yeah, slightly slicker rate, but like not enough to knock it over into a 9. Like,
Expect that, as obviously the developer like goes, or the publisher, the developer goes into more and more games. Like as they hopefully become more slick.
Yeah,
that's great.
Really
great,
good.
Fantastic.
Highly recommend, and you'd love it, Erim. So definitely.
I know. I'd definitely love
get involved.
It.
Is that next on your playlist then?
It may well be. I might try and do Alan Wake as well.
I'll definitely do Alan Wake.
Yeah,
definitely
sister
do
really
Alan
sold
Wake.
It to me, and it keeps popping up in my recommended games.
Don't wait too long, because spoilers for Alan Wake just ruin certain things. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, the next smelliest person in the row?
It's definitely
Billen.
Yeah, he's got a slight odour.
Yeah, but not as much as you. I mean, you can smell you when I'm miles away.
I know. It's good for like locating me, though. If you ever lose me, you know where I am.
That's true, actually.
Echolocation.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of echo location.
Yeah, exactly. Smell location.
Smell location.
You know, like, what is it?
Sniffo location.
I mean, Gandalf used it in the Mines of Moria, so.
Yes, that's true.
That's a good callback.
If you ever need to find an Erim, follow your nose.
There we go. So, Billen, what game are you going to be talking about with us today?
Well, I'm going to be reviewing Tears of the Kingdom, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, to give it its full title. Because I've actually finished it. Well, I say finished it. I've beaten the final boss. I'm about 70% of the way through if I'm going to 100% it. And of course I will.
Yeah, oh, Billen, for anyone who hasn't listened to the podcast before, Billen loves to complete things. He's a completionist. So
I don't know.
Collectibles.
Yeah.
Go over to Billen. He loves you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are some games where I literally just max out the inventory slots for a particular item because that's a thing you can do.
Oh, wow.
I just lose the patience at that point.
I know.
Like, sometimes,
as long as you enjoy doing the thing which causes you to gain more of that item, then sure, why not?
But like sometimes like some games are as collectibles and there's no real reward. Like, I don't know. I'm like, I want rewards. I haven't got the attention span to go around and like collect all the Koroks or whatever it was in the original one, just to get a golden poo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an excellent golden poo. Don't knock the golden poo.
I'm getting too distracted.
No,
go on, carry on with the game.
No, but I'm with Erim on this. The collectibles, if they do something meaningful to your game experience, then I'm on board with that. But then, you know what? If you like collecting stuff, go for it.
Yep.
You do you.
I will
live your best life. So describe this game. For anyone who doesn't know this game, I mean, here we go, Billen. Describe this game in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Well, I've got to pick a nut. I'm going to go with a coconut. Not that it's been chosen by anyone else today.
Yeah, we're just team coconut today.
Team coconuts today. Because, you know, it's big. The game is very big. It's kind of hard on the outside because the game is harder than Breath of the Wild was.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you can make stuff with it. Like, you can pretend to be horses by cutting a coconut shell in half. And there's a game mechanic which allows you to build things. And that's kind of integral to what makes Tears of the Kingdom different to Breath of the Wild.
Okay. I'm sure everyone knows this, but for anyone who's been living under a rock somewhere, tell us about the game, like, who made it?
So the game is made by Nintendo. Almost all of the Legend of Zelda games play on Nintendo Switch. It came out in May 2023. I finished it, I think, October, November time, 2023.
And I have to ask, what was your time to beat the main story?
Ah, right. So current game time. Oh, well, it's quite difficult to tell game time. It tells you how long the game's been open, but sometimes that includes pause menus.
It does. It's just annoying.
My current game time, which is more than the amount of time it took me to beat the game, is 250 hours. Now, comparing that to Breath of the Wild, it took me 295 hours to 100% the game and then also start and play a bit of the Master Mode. God. And that's I'm about ridiculous. 70% of the way through.
Yeah.
So, hence the coconut, big nut.
Yeah.
How do you find that much time? That's crazy.
Get up in the morning early,
yeah.
Play a bit before work,
yeah.
Force myself to go to work, tearing myself away from it because it's really fun. Get
surely
back
you
in
can
the
just
evening,
take your Switch with you.
Have dinner. I'll play a bit of Zelda.
Yeah.
Keep going. 3 a.m. Probably go to bed now.
Yeah. This sounds like me with Animal Crossing during the pandemic.
And the thing is, I force myself to only ever play it on the big screen TV. I've never played it in handheld mode.
Oh, have you not?
That's very good.
I really want to appreciate like the graphics on a big TV.
It's beautiful.
Plus, the sound coming from my TV is better than from the Switch speakers, mm-hmm. and the sound's excellent as well.
Mm.
So that limits my ability to play it more. Otherwise, I probably would have put over 300 hours. So the game is like an adventure game. You do lots of exploring, you fight enemies, you solve puzzles, you have some abilities that allow you to build stuff, fuse weapons to make all sorts of weapons. You can climb things, you can ascend through them. And then ultimately you have to fight this big bad Ganondorf, who is some demon king who was imprisoned at the beginning of the forming of Hyrule.
Mm-hmm.
And the story's kind of split over two time periods.
Mm.
So it starts with Link and Zelda going into the depths of Hyrule Castle because some odd stuff's coming up. So in Breath of the Wild, you had Malice.
Mm-hmm.
In Tears of the Kingdom, you have Gloom. It's basically the same
thing.
Slightly different.
Different colour?
It's different colour.
Ah.
It also hurts you in a different way. Mm. It like actually gets rid of your hearts.
Gets rid of hearts and makes them unusable.
And then,
yeah.
So if you're in a dark place and you get infected by gloom,
uh-huh.
those hearts are gone until you go somewhere in the light, and then the light allows you to recover back those hearts.
Okay, so I think most people are at least vaguely somewhat aware of this game and certainly of Breath of the Wild as well. So For the next few questions, let's think about, because you've completed this,
yep.
let's think about it as the whole experience for anyone who's like, is it worth my time? Yeah. So with that in mind, with the is it worth my time question in mind,
yep.
what do you think this game does well that would make it worth someone's time if they're like, oh, it's such a big game, I'm not sure I can be bothered? Like,
okay, so
what makes it worth your while?
If you like Breath of the Wild, that is also a huge game. Tears of the Kingdom, bigger. So if you love Breath of the Wild, I would go for Tears of the Kingdom because it's the same, but more.
Okay, so you say you don't need to play Breath of the Wild first.
Don't need to play Breath of the Wild first.
I'd agree with that.
In fact, some bits of Tears of the Kingdom are a bit strange if you have played Breath of the Wild first. Some characters, you're like, oh, I recognise this character. You interact with them. It's like, they don't recognise Link at all. It's like, okay, that's a bit odd. I guess it's just not canon that they met in the original timeline. And then some things like weapons have changed because of the fusion mechanics. Where you had fire rods in the first game, they're now ruby swords.
Okay.
Because you can attach rubies to things to give them firepower.
So why play it though? Like, what is the thing that really works well that would pull
the
new
ultra
players
hand
in?
You can build shit. Just go on YouTube and look for videos of all of the random stuff that people have built. That like someone's built a giant Wally. There are people.
Wally. Okay.
Yes.
Not Where's Wally.
People have built things from like other IPs. Someone's built a goblin glider to get around a map based on the Spider-Man universe. There are like people have done autonomous tanks to battle enemies because they can't be bothered. It's just like, yeah, set this tank off.
Yeah.
It'll just kill all the enemies, auto target them.
Uh huh.
You can just build pretty much anything you like.
So basically, it's Zelda meets Minecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The bit, and I'd echo this, the build mechanic and the sort of physics element of this game, both in the puzzles and in just you can build whatever you like to tackle any problem, is just an amazing addition to this world. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Yeah, brilliant. So what, if anything, do you feel like doesn't work as well having played the whole game, or is something you wish that they'd done that they haven't, or any negatives basically?
So possibly a negative is in the first game, Breath of the Wild, you could pretty much do anything you wanted in any order you liked, mm-hmm. including getting great fairies, which allows you to upgrade your armor. In Tears of the Kingdom, you have to unlock the great fairies in a specific order, and then all of your upgrades to your armor are much pricier. You actually have to pay rupees for them rather than just the building materials, which means it's much slower to get a lot high defense, which makes the game harder, which I appreciate because you can get overpowered very quickly in Breath of the Wild if you know what you're doing. This one is a bit more of a slog, so you really feel like you've earned it more. But that can also be frustrating because there is a bit of a grind element. It's harder to get money than it was in the previous game, and therefore harder to upgrade your armor. There's also a stupid amount of different armor sets, so completing one to get the set bonus and also upgrading it enough takes a lot longer. Which, yeah, some people like because it makes the game harder, and then some people like, oh, I really just want to do that. I can't be bothered to grind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends if you want to race to the finish or just appreciate doing things in this awesome world.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I just gave up on the fairies. I haven't even unlocked one, and I did all four of the regional phenomena. That's where I'm at.
That's the other thing.
I just couldn't be bothered.
Finding Hestu. If you don't know where Hestu is, he's so easy to miss at the start.
And you need that for your inventory.
Yeah, like seriously, if you're playing this game and you want to boost your inventory slots, which to be fair, you can fuse really powerful weapons, so you don't actually need that many weapons if you know what you're doing. But if you want Hestu, follow the game where it says to go first and you'll see him. Don't take the scenic route because you'll miss him and then it'll take forever to actually be able to upgrade your weapon slots.
Yeah, good tip, because I couldn't find Hestu for ages. It was driving me nuts. And are there any other highlights that as someone who's finished the game you would like to mention to really help people along their way? Like me, I've kind of shelved it for a while now because I was just like fatigued with it.
So a highlight which I just think is awesome. So the temples are amazing.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
They're really good. Yeah. Much better than the Divine Beast from the previous game.
Agree.
But the first one that you're directed towards, which is like the Wind Temple, just getting there, you go from ground level.
It's amazing.
You go up through the rising island chain or sky island chain. So there's loads of islands and you just get higher and higher and higher.
Mm-hmm. It makes your toes curl, doesn't it?
And then you have to bounce on like some trampoline ships, which are flying in the sky to really, really high up. And then you plummet through the middle of like a mid-air cyclone to land on this giant ship that's flying in the sky.
Mm.
And just the way the music builds up to that moment is amazing. And then the final boss of that temple, just like, I've seen people say they were brought to tears. It was that good a set piece.
Mm.
And that boss, the Colgera,
I love amazing. That.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that. I actually figured out a way of killing it like quite easily.
Yeah, you told me that. You thought you were supposed to
I thought you were
supposed dive
to,
through it.
I dove through it and smashed every single one.
I was shooting fire arrows at it. Turns out you don't even need to use fire-based weapons. Anything will kill
anything,
it.
Yeah. You just got to smash it in a certain way.
Oh, fun fact. So it teleports. You can go through the portals if you're quick enough, and you actually teleport out in the same place that it does, which I did not know that.
That's really cool. Yeah, that was amazing. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, lots of recommendations there. Obviously, yeah, there's a lot about this game. So feel free to go and look at other people's rants, pro Zelda rants, and all the good things about it. Who would you recommend this to, Bilen?
So anyone who's played any of the Zelda games, but particularly Breath of the Wild, anyone who likes to explore anyone who likes to collect things,
yeah,
and anyone who likes to build shit.
Can I just ask something just quickly?
Go
because
for it.
One of my gripes with the last Zelda game was breaking weapons. Is this
weapons
still...
do break, but because of the fuse mechanic, you can put things onto your weapons uh-huh. before they break. They last longer.
Oh, good.
And they're stronger.
Yeah.
And you can just make weapons out of all sorts of random crap. So,
yeah.
Okay. So people who were getting originally frustrated by the last game, you'd now recommend this because of this new mechanic that helps
yeah,
them. Fantastic.
They still break.
I agree.
Yeah. But they don't break as much.
Yes.
And actually, the thing that I thought was good about the breaking means you experiment with more weapons.
Uh-huh.
This time, even more so, because you can fuse any of your base weapons with any
anything.
Of the fusible items.
Yeah.
I think it's like 190 or something like that. Different
yeah,
fusible
like you can
things.
Fuse a mushroom to the end
yeah.
of something
and
things
they
will bounce off the end
bounce.
Of it.
Bounce. Enemies go flying when you hit them with mushroom
yeah,
weapons.
Or like a leasel tail on the end of a sword will make it like a whip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so,
so
cool.
fun. Yeah. And also
very
I'd say
creative.
About the weapons, like last time you were precious about weapons because there were some really good weapons that you
yeah,
pick
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Like in this, like I don't think it's a spoiler to say right at the beginning, like pretty much all the weapons are tarnished
yeah.
for most of
oh,
the world,
yeah.
I'll say.
They're all rubbish.
They're all rubbish. So you don't actually care.
Yeah.
So it's more about what you do with the weapon
yeah.
rather than what is the base weapon.
Yeah.
And also, that like, when you go to some of the later areas, there are like tens of chests with really powerful weapons in. It's just like, oh, I can just find these anywhere. Plus, you can just make them because they're made out of materials that you find all over the world. So it's fine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like
they
really address
they
that.
They basically address that, yeah, I would say. Yeah, brilliant. So I think that brings us to the rating. And Billen, you're one of the only people that I know who can actually rate this game because you finished it. What is your rating for Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom?
This will come as a surprise to no one. 10, definite 10.
Yay! Oh, that's great.
Yep.
And I think this won Best Adventure Game at the Game of the Year Awards. It
Ooh,
was up
yes.
for so many awards.
Probably.
Are you sad that it didn't win Game of the Year?
Well, I don't work for Nintendo. I'm a big fan, but, you know, if they win, they win. Yeah, it's great. I like the game.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean everyone else has to.
No, but sometimes it's nice to see something that you really like
yeah.
do well. Like,
yeah, this is true. You know? But Jem really likes Alan Wake, that one, right?
Not
Best
game of the year, but it won the things I think it should have won.
Oh,
I
no,
Baldur's Gate
won.
Baldur's Gate,
yeah.
I mean, same kind of thing. Yeah, I was really happy that it did that.
Yeah.
It's just nice to see an old franchise just really come back really strong and I think put a lot of games to shame, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's just nice to have your love for, as we all love games, like it's just nice to see your love validated, isn't it?
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, oh, yes, I was so stoked about this game
yeah.
and I'm so glad that other
people
were too. And that's why we do this podcast, everyone. Oh, thank you very much, Billen.
Yeah,
you're
lovely.
Welcome. Right, does that lead us to the smelliest sibling?
Yeah, he stinks. I can smell him from here.
Yeah, I hope you can't smell him whilst listening to this. I hope you haven't got smelly sound.
I mean, they should make this technology, shouldn't they?
They shouldn't.
Why not? It's more immersive.
Have to suffer you.
No,
oh, God, you
no, especially with like the Oculus kind of like headsets. Maybe they can make something like
smell-o-vision.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Wow.
Instead of a haptic handset, you get like a smelly like vial with every episode.
You just top it up with like some sort of vapor.
Isn't there
the
like
can make anything
and 8D sound, which makes no sense whatsoever, but people market some kind of audio tracks as 8D sound.
That's
it. Maybe 9D sound is how
not...
you make it smell.
Also, though, what would Erim's bottled smell be? It's like wet dog and teenage boy.
I don't know.
34-year-old teenage boy.
Anyway. maybe we should stop causing our listeners to become nauseous.
No, it's good to set the tone, I think. You know, sometimes
set
to be a bit descriptive.
Expectation.
Why don't you tell us what game you will be reviewing today?
I'm going to be talking about Kites, Time to Fly.
Kites,
ooh,
like
kites.
As in the thing that flies in the sky with wind.
Well, hence Time to Fly.
As in the birds?
Yeah, no, it could be
the
bird, you see.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Oh, yes, yeah, as in like the thing you go to the park
the papery
with.
Thing.
Yeah.
I go to the
park with my red kite. That's
you
a
don't have a... You don't
it's
have a...
Joke.
Are they still endangered?
I don't think so. I saw loads of them during the pandemic.
I think
they're
were one
all
of
over the
motorway.
Kites are making a comeback.
They were one of the like best reintroduction things, weren't they? Projects.
Possibly.
Yeah, they were
really,
reintroduced.
They're very cool.
Only in this
places
was a nature podcast, eh?
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, bit of random
right.
bird chat.
So, tell us in a nutshell about this game.
Okay. Well, you have to ask me what nut.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah.
Obviously,
I just asked it.
Well, you did, but
yeah, what nut?
What nut? Well, I'm going to go for a coconut.
Oh, so original.
Yeah, but wait, there's a good reason. Have you ever tried to fly a coconut?
No.
No, are you suggesting coconuts migrate?
What? No.
Small bird jokes.
Oh God,
no, that was a
Monty Python joke. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It took me a moment to recall that. Yeah, but I know. No. This game is really frustrating, and you're pretty much guaranteed to crash your kites. So yeah, it's a bit like having a coconut and trying to fly it. Like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. Okay, nice. And so tell us about this game. Like, who is it made by?
So kites, and I quite like this game. This description actually: the sun is shining, the wind is blowing, and you just know what to do. Gather your friends to fly some kites. So this is a cooperative board game in which you have to essentially keep your kites flying for as long as possible and beat a deck of cards. And your kites are represented by 6 different egg timers, all of which I think are slightly different in terms of their timing. You'll have the 6 different colours are red, orange, yellow. Then you've got a white one, which is a bit special. Blue and purple. Yeah, yeah. It has a particular mechanic about
powers.
It. Powers. Yeah, it has powers. No, it's very, very integral to the game, the white one. So each of the times are different times, red's being the shortest, and I think purple or blue being the longest.
Okay.
And each of your cards will have either 1 or 2 coloured kites on it.
Okay.
And whatever colour your card has is what timer you can start flipping over.
Okay, so is this
between the two?
Sorry?
So if it's got 1 or 2 colours, if it's got 2 colours, you...
No, you play both. You have to play both, yeah. So it can be a bit... boggle your mind.
And is
which
it
one
procedurally generated, or do you have like a certain hand at the start and you've just got to play?
No, you just dealt out 3 cards at the beginning.
Sorry, did you just refer to a card game as procedurally generated?
Yeah, like...
one where they
like
put
a
tiles
thing,
in
like
it.
Pandemic.
Right.
Works like a video game.
Yeah.
Or what about
it is procedurally generated. Yeah, you turn over certain things and you're playing the game like you are a video
game. I wouldn't
have
referred to that as procedurally generated because there's no
computer
procedure
that's generated.
What's the other one that you played where it was a mansion, you had to pull out certain cards to connect it? Yeah. No, it's nothing like that.
Yeah, I think kind of is.
No. It's a beat the deck game, basically. And your job is to just make sure you don't run out of time on any of those egg timers.
Yeah.
But it's a turn-based thing. So what will happen a lot of the times is you've got 3 cards that don't relate to the timer that's running out of time. So you have to like talk to each other and try and make a strategy that you're turning them over so you can actually save the one that's about to run out of time without it jeopardizing any of your other ones. So it becomes really frantic. And then what happens once you've completed the deck that's remaining, not in your hands, the white timer can no longer be touched. So you have to try and complete everyone's hand without that white timer running out of sand. Yeah.
Got you. Wow. It sounds
like
fun.
It is very good. I feel like we might end up fighting if we played it.
Yeah.
It was good with my friends.
We
would
definitely fight because you two would be terrible at it.
I think I did all right actually, but yeah,
I find it hard like when everyone's talking at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you would just be like, I don't know, punching me. Right?
Like, shut up, I need to think.
Probably,
yeah, exactly. It does. Yeah, it's quite. It's quite pressurised, especially.
I guess you've got to find the right team, haven't you? There's certain people I could play that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you strategize. Like some people will be watching certain timers, calling out which ones need to do. So there is a bit of. Yeah, if you've got a good tactic about it, you can get quite far into it.
Yeah, it's a bit like Overcooked, I guess. You've got someone watching the burgers, someone watching the orders,
watching
up.
Yeah, right. So it does work really well. As long as you're playing as a team, it's it can work really well.
Nice.
We didn't manage to beat it. We got very close.
How many times have you played?
Just a handful of times, really.
Okay.
It was just literally New Year's Eve. We played it quite a few times. It was a good warm-up game because the length of time is about 10 minutes per game.
Yeah, and do you know who this game is developed by or published by and when it came out? Is it like quite a recent publication?
Came out in 2022. Designer is Kevin Hamano and the artist is Beth Sobel. The art's quite cool. I like the different kites and stuff. It was published by Floodgate Games, though.
Okay.
So it's not names that I've ever really come across before. It's just quite a cool game though.
Nice. Yeah. And how many players is it for, did you say?
Between 2 to 6. I've not played it as 2. We played it as a group of 6. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there variations for amounts of players.
I don't know whether there's variations from amounts of players. There are different mechanics that you can introduce to the game. There's something called a storm, which flips all the timers over.
Right.
And I think that makes it even more challenging than what we did.
So you've got to get in your groove before you do that. Then.
Yeah, exactly. I think that can increase the level of difficulty. But I didn't play it as a two-player thing. So I'm not sure whether it changes how the game is played.
Fair enough. Mm. So, are there any other highlights, things that you thought worked well that you haven't mentioned?
I mean, it's just quite a creative use of timers, to be honest. I thought that's a really cool... I've not really seen anything like that where you've got multiple ones on the go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I can't think of a game that's...
Yeah, it's just a bit different because I feel like there's quite a few board games that follow similar mechanics, obviously done in their own way, but this is quite, I think it's quite original in that sense.
I think I've heard of, I think RAF, when they do their interviews or tests for people, they have like 7 timers.
Yeah.
And they have to try and get them as close to ending before resetting them to score lots of points, but they can only see one timer at a time. So I'm wondering if this is based on that.
Maybe.
What are they doing while these timers are on?
So they just have to reset the timers as late to them.
They're just hanging out resetting timers?
They just sit there.
Well, look at the screen, see one timer, and you can...
Ah, I see what you mean. Got you.
And then you can only reset the one that you're looking at.
So then you have to try and score as many points as you can without letting any of the timers fail.
Maybe it's an
ex-RAF
person. So this
is an RAF recruitment drive, basically.
Quite possibly.
Well, fantastic. I mean, whatever works.
Complete the game, then you get a letter from the RAF.
Please sign up. Yes, very nice. So is there anything in this game that you felt was less successful?
Not particularly, no. I thought it was quite a good game. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be like the most amazing game of all time. It's just a nice warm-up party game that is accessible really for everyone. There's no real negative to it.
Next question for you, which I always ask about when we do board game reviews, is can you play this while drinking alcohol?
That'll make it much more
I mean
fun,
I literally
harder,
played it drinking
to win,
I
surely.
Think it depends on the person, to be honest, like how aggressive and angry do you get when you're drinking. Because
I was more thinking about, can you understand?
You can understand it. But like, I think the issue I would have is like people just like having a go at each other, like throwing drinks at each other, getting frustrated.
Tipping the table. What did you do? We needed to see red. Why did you do blue?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is there potential for a lot of drinks to be spilled?
Oh, yeah, because it's frantic, isn't it? And you have to... Whoever is playing the card has to be the one that turns things over. So if you've got a drink in front of you, bam.
Are they paper cards?
Sorry?
Are they paper cards?
Yes.
Oh,
less
that's
good for
recipe
drinking
for
games.
Disaster.
Less good for drinking games. Drink and games, not drinking games. Yeah. Great. Is there anything else you'd like to highlight about this game before we move to a recommendation?
No. Like I said earlier, just the creative use of the egg timers, I think, is just a cool mechanic. It's nothing... Sounds really bad. It's nothing special in that regard. It's quite simple, but just well executed.
Yeah, so and it sounds like it's really say. Unique.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Amazing. So who would you recommend this to?
Everyone, really. Groups of friends, families, not us, probably. Or like, I don't know, not at our family time. I feel like...
You're looking at me.
I really want to play the game, but I think Jem would get stressed.
I'd probably play this really well with Tim, my other brother.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when we play these kinds of games together, we're just on the same wavelength. Or Alex, my other mate. Like, I feel like we'd be all right.
Yeah.
Cause
no. I definitely
couldn't play this with Alex.
Yeah.
Like, no way.
Oh, no. I think Alex would be quite like, ooh.
No, he would. No. Would he not? No, he's quite competitive, but... I think that we don't get on well when there's a game where I have the potential to be bossy.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Which is fair enough. Bossy when I need to be.
Yeah, I mean, it could benefit from someone being a little bit of a leader in it, to be honest, and dictating what people should be concentrating on.
That's so right. I would be the dictator. Yay.
But yeah, no, anyone really. I think all ages, obviously above like the age of 2. Like,
oh really? You think
no,
really
I'm
well
joking. Like,
okay.
Obviously, able to understand what they need to do, but like, as soon as you're able to comprehend it, then I think everyone can play it. Really,
Fab. Yeah. Lovely. Which leads us neatly to a rating out of 10. Aaron, what would you give Kites?
I think 7.58, kind of like, it's good. It's nothing.
7.58.
7.5, maybe 8.
Okay. Yeah. Not 7.58. He's not going to two decimal places.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, hang on. It's very specific. Never done that before.
Yeah. No, like, I don't think it quite deserves an 8 because it is, it's, yeah. It's not like, oh my God, incredible, but it's really good fun.
7.5 is a very good score.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something you should have in your arsenal of family games.
Great.
It's a good one to bring out, definitely.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it with other people.
You don't like.
Sorry?
Arsenal of games. You throw them at the relatives you don't like.
Yeah, I never thought of using board games in that way, but I guess they can be used as weapons.
I mean, they're quite heavy.
You did say Arsenal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, this one's like, you know, it's quite brick-shaped in the box, so...
Most board game boxes are brick-shaped.
Oh,
like blocky.
Yeah, but I mean specifically like a typical
brick. Oh, it's actually brick-shaped.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Nice. Very good for throwing.
Throw through a window. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that, kids.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Well, I think that brings us towards the end of our reviews. What's everyone looking forward to playing quickly before we wrap up? We're in 2024. There's a lot of games due to be coming out over the next few months. Is there anything like on anyone's watch list? Things they're excited about?
Oh dear, I don't have a watch list. I'm still 100%ing Tears of the Kingdom eventually, but taking a break from that at the moment to catch up on some games that I haven't finished. So currently I am playing Hollow Knight.
Oh, I met with the first one because the second one's coming out soon, right? Isn't that due for this year?
I don't know if the second one is ever coming out. It's kind of a bit of a meme now.
Yeah, maybe.
It's been... Oh, we've got a sequel coming for a very, very long time.
Oh, maybe it's one of those.
So I'm not sure it's ever going to be released. They've released footage, but who knows when the game will ever come out. But yeah, I'm playing Hollow Knight.
Oh, lovely.
Fantastic.
What are you playing at the moment?
I mean, the other game I'm playing, I've got, it came out a bit of time ago, but Warhammer Total War 3.
Oh, yeah.
That's been quite fun, but it's such a big, it's massive. Like, every extra Total War, so like every time it's gone up incrementally, it's added so much stuff and there's so much DLC. Yeah. It's honestly, I think it's a bit of a work of art, to be honest, how they've just developed it and built it and built it. And each time, even though it's the same game, it feels completely different. So yeah, that's something I'm really enjoying at the minute. Then other than that, things like Oxenfree 2 I'd like to play.
Yeah.
Currently playing a bit of Resident Evil 8 as well, which is...
Village.
Yeah, The Village.
Yeah. Well, they released DLC for that. Was it last year or the year before? I don't know if it's any good, but enjoy.
What about you? Anything...
Well, I'm currently almost finishing a game called Cocoon, which is an amazing puzzle game, like mind-blowingly good stuff. I think it's Annapurna, who always make amazing games. I absolutely lied. It's the designer behind Limbo and Inside. It's that game designer.
Okay.
Name of which escapes me, but Cocoon is like mind-blowingly good. It's so fast-paced, like the puzzles sort of unfold on top of each other.
Yeah.
And it just sort of like throws you into a puzzle on top of a puzzle on top of a puzzle, and you have to kind of keep track of where the puzzles are, and then randomly chucked in a few bosses, even though it's a puzzle game, which threw me. I was like, oh no, I'm dealing really well with the puzzles, go me. And I was like, oh no, goddamn boss fights. I kind of hate boss fights. So I'm really enjoying that. And then I've got a little game called Elden Ring that someone bought me for Christmas. Might get around to finally.
Everyone's favorite relaxing game.
Oh, so relaxing.
I'm nervous about starting it because it's a time sink and I'm going to get really angry, but I do want to try.
We should definitely get some sound bites from, like...
Oh my God, yes!
The video that Alex got of you playing Dark Souls, where you're just going...
It's
why
really
would
embarrassing.
You die?
It's really embarrassing. Yeah, from software games and me are not necessarily friends, but I've heard that this is a lot more accessible, so let's just see. I might just get angry. But I'm willing to try. Game of the year last year, so I'm willing to try.
Yeah.
I'm willing to try. Well, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Willing to try. But so great. We've got a lot more games to chat about soon then.
Yep.
Well, thank you for tuning in for this episode of My 10 Podcast, for joining us on our slightly chaotic chat about games. And we hope you've enjoyed the smell-o-vision. Here, have another waft. Yes, Erin smells nasty. We
know.
Thanks,
guys.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Please like, subscribe, share this with your fellow game loving friends. Also recommend games to us. We're on X, formerly Twitter, and Instagram, and get in touch and recommend some games. Like, subscribe, share, do all the things. Give us a 5-star review. Why not? Really helps. And we'd be eternally grateful. Other than that, anything you have to say, guys, before we sign off?
Nothing more from me apart from goodbye.
Smell you next time.
Smell you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.